For a long time, Hollywood has been less than subtle in its political messaging. You don't have to look far for examples of ham-fisted political virtue signalling. Just last year, for instance, we had all-time classics like They Them, a horror movie wherein LGBT youth are sent to a conversion camp and victimised by evil religious people, and Men, a film by Alex Garland, who is a writer-director I usually like, where an innocent woman, after her abusive husband kills himself, goes on holiday to an English village and is repeatedly attacked and stalked by various men, all played by the same actor, because after all men are the same, am I right? It makes you yearn for the good old days where you could sit down to watch a film and not have the writer's political views shoved forcefully down your throat. But as much as we like to glorify the recent past of Hollywood as a neutral ground for good old-fashioned storytelling, there was just as much propaganda being pushed. It's just that, compared to the slop that we're fed now, it's a tad more subtle. But make no mistake, proto-woke, and in some cases outright woke messaging, is in many of your favourite films. To illustrate my point, today I'll be examining Tony Kaye's 1998 classic, American History X. But before I go any further, I suggest watching the film before continuing with this analysis, as I will be going into detail with spoilers throughout. So, because many approach media from the 80s and 90s as belonging to a great period of neutrality, any agenda pushing in movies from this time is often overlooked or excused. To make it clear what I mean, let's take a brief excursion before we get into American History X and look at the original Alien and its sequel Aliens, both of which are currently held up as great examples of apolitical filmmaking. But the world these films present is anything but neutral and apolitical. In both films, we're presented a vision where female participation within armed forces and manual labour is normal, and where these women are considered as being no less capable than men, able to give and take banter like the best of them, while still kicking ass and keeping up with the boys, sometimes even showing them how it's really done. Even the much referenced bit of trivia that Ripley was originally written for Alien without a specific gender in mind does not signal neutrality, but instead a vision of the world in which men and women's roles are malleable and interchangeable, therefore allowing the character to be portrayed by either a man or a woman. This obviously changed for the sequel, where Ripley's role as a mother is an integral part of the narrative and her character arc, but it's clear that she can still kick ass with the best of them. This is not to cast a value judgment on the series. I love the first two Alien films, same with the first two Terminators, which also have an ass-kicking female protagonist, but just because a film reflects your values, that does not mean it's neutral. The best we can say with both the Alien and Terminator franchises is that they reflect and reinforce values that we have already internalized and see as normal. This is a problem that many older film fans fail to recognize in the modern era of films, where filmmakers don't make any effort to hide the fact that they are producing propaganda. Older films were still propaganda, they were just more subtle with how they portrayed their social commentary, and most of the audience already agreed with that social commentary, so it just came across as very normal to them. Case in point, many view American History X as a supposedly deep exploration of radicalization and trauma. It follows a neo-Nazi protagonist, Derek, on a path to redemption, going from the trauma of his father's death and his resulting radicalization all the way to him being put in prison due to a curb stomping a black gang member trying to steal his truck, before realizing the error of his ways thanks to a black friend he makes in prison, abandoning his radical views. In the end, Derek's choices catch back up with him as the gang who came after him earlier in the film send a young initiate to kill his younger brother Danny in retaliation, who had only just himself begun to de-radicalize. We end on the tragic sight of Derek cradling Danny's lifeless body, a cold commentary on the cycle of violence, as we reflect on how Derek's choices led not only himself, but his brother down a dark path and kicked off a chain of events that culminated in Danny himself being murdered by another young boy who was being initiated into a violent gang. It sounds pretty deep and insightful so far, right? But despite how even-handed and nuanced this may sound, I see the film in a very different and altogether less sympathetic light, because when you take a closer look at what the film is showing you, it's clear that it's trying to push an agenda, and an explicitly anti-conservative, anti-right-wing agenda at that. How does it do so? Well, by having the avatar for common conservative concerns and talking points in the film be a literal Nazi. Some of the most obvious propaganda in the film simply comes from its portrayal of criminality and who commits the criminal acts throughout, which signals to me how the filmmakers are trying to distort and misrepresent reality. For instance, throughout the earlier parts of the story, which are displayed in black and white for no other reason than, let's be honest, to make the film seem more important and highbrow than it actually is, Derek and his neo-Nazi gang are shown assaulting Asian shopkeepers and their diverse minority staff in a local convenience store because they're ticking our jobs.
They took our jobs! Yeah, they're down! Took our jobs!
How very ignorant of them. But if you listen to the speech Derek is giving beforehand, outside of it having somewhat fierce rhetoric, the concerns he is raising are pretty common among normal blue-collar Americans, that being worries over illegal immigration and the displacement of local labor forces due to cheap labor being imported into the country.
Listen up. We need to open our eyes. There's over 2 million illegal immigrants bedding down in this state tonight. This state spent $3 billion last year on services for those people who had no right to be here in the first place. $3 billion. $400 million just to lock up a bunch of illegal immigrant criminals who only got into this country because the fucking INS decided it's not worth the effort to screen for convicted felons. Who gives a shit? Our government doesn't give a shit. Our border policy is a joke. So is anybody surprised that south of the border they're laughing at us? Laughing at our laws?
Yeah.
Every night, thousands of these parasites stream across the border like some fucking pinata exploded. Don't laugh. There's nothing funny going on here. This is about your life and mine. Archie Miller ran that grocery store since we were kids here. Dave worked there. Mike worked there. He went under, and now some fucking Korean owns it who fired these guys and is making a killing because he hired 40 fucking border jumpers. I see this shit going on and I don't see anybody doing anything about it. And it fucking pisses me off.
Not only does this scene dismiss these very real issues by putting them in the mouth of a literal Nazi, what the audience is shown is that within LA and presumably other majority white cities, minorities are in constant danger by just trying to live their lives because racist white gangs will come to assault them. This is a deceitful inversion of reality within many American cities, especially places like LA and San Francisco, given that most reports that I've seen, and you have likely seen as well, show that it's not typically neo-Nazis and white people taking to the streets to assault and rob Asian people. In fact, at the time of the LA riots, it was notoriously black gangs attacking Korean convenience stores in their own neighborhoods. I would cover this in more detail, but it's beyond the scope of this particular analysis, and I will instead recommend that you watch Count Dankula's excellent video on the roof Koreans instead. All this is to say that American History X has a tendency of portraying events and racial conflicts in LA that invert real-life racial dynamics and pushes a vision in which poor, hard-working minorities are exclusively victimized by bigoted white people. Because I guess portraying reality accurately would have been racist.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.